strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel of John says that the devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, goes on to say that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. My friends, all too often we naively believe the false truth, that false truths and things of Satan come prepackaged in things with red horns and that the word evil is stamped on them. However, the reality is that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He can disguise himself as a polite and caring and nice, helpful and so forth. He has the ability to make us think that right things are wrong and that wrong things are right. He has the ability to twist the way in which we understand love. The evil one has the ability to make truth into a lie and the lie into a truth. He spins the facts, and as one pastor once said to me, the evil one, Satan, he is always politically correct. He's the master of deception. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is truth. John 14:6 says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And notice that he does not say that he is a truth. He is the truth. Jesus doesn't spin the truth. Rather, he embodies the truth. We see him speaking the truth in the Gospels, even when it is politically not correct for him to do so, nor comfortable for his hearers. He speaks the truths back to the evil one in our text today. As we think back to our gospel reading from today, we hear about a battle that occurs. It is a battle between the Lord of life, Jesus Christ, and the evil one, Satan himself. In this battle, we see that both Christ and the devil are not fighting with bombs or guns or even supernatural spiritual powers. Rather, as the Lord of life battles with the Lord of death, in our text, the weapons that they are using may surprise you. These weapons are words. That's it, just words. They are using words to fight. But you may ask yourself, why the battle with words? Why the war of the words in our text today? And the reason being is that words are powerful and they are deeply, deeply powerful. They have more power than we imagine. They're much more powerful than deeds or actions. You see, in our day and age, there is a pressure to focus on deeds, not creeds. In other words, there's a pressure for the church to put its mouth into action. The pressure is not to only talk the talk, but walk the walk. While there's always some legitimacy to this, the church can never, ever give up the proclamation of the gospel, the word of God, speaking the word of God. Unfortunately, one of the failures in America is that we tend to underestimate the power of words. However, if we take a moment to think about the power of words, all we have to do is contemplate the power of words in the history of the country of Germany. The power of words convinced German voters to elect Adolf Hitler to lead their country. The power of words can convince young men to hijack a plane and fly it into a building. Words can convince men and women to even children to strap on explosive vests in order to kill people. Yes, words are indeed very powerful. So it is of no surprise that the devil bends the power of words to his own will in our text today. He lies. The devil even takes the Holy Scriptures and bends them, these Scriptures, to attempt to mislead Jesus the Christ. Satan takes the words of Scripture out of their original context and omits words here and there to try and tempt Jesus to sin. Seriously, if you look at our gospel reading from today, you will notice that Satan is quoting Scripture to Jesus in order to tempt him. However, he does so by changing these Scriptures, these words, ever so slightly. The devil is not interested in eliminating the Scriptures. He's much too sly for that. He is rather interested in twisting it ever so slightly, twisting it to mislead. The point for us to take note of is that the evil one has been around a long time and is very, very good at tempting us away from the truth. The evil one typically does not come against you and me with a red warning label that says spicy. Rather, he comes in deception. He tells us to trust our own emotions, our own feelings, our own personal opinions over the Word of God. He convinces us that these false truths are really true by having us validate truth, not on the basis of God's Word, but on whether or not something works. He attaches glitter, prosperity, and charm to false truth, knowing that we find attraction in bright lights and hopeful dreams of being successful. As we have already noted, the evil one will even twist Scripture, take it out of context, and omit important parts of the Word. This is the way that he attacks you and me, and this is how he attacked Jesus. He twisted and omitted. The harsh reality is that you and I, in the midst of temptation and trial, often turn to these false words, unfortunately. We're easily enticed by twisted truths. We're continuously deceived by the false truths of Satan, our flesh, and the world. Sadly, we don't completely trust the Word of God. Surely, we must all confess that we do not listen to the Word of God as we should. Unfortunately, we often pick and choose the lies of the devil, the lies of the world, and the lies of our own sinful nature over God's Word. We choose that which is easy to swallow. We are selective in our hearing, choosing that which appeals to our sinful nature, that which is harmful and false to us. We choose the sweet drink, the drink that is actually poisoned. Nevertheless, there is comfort for us in today's text. In Jesus' interaction, as we read today, with the evil one, we see that every time Jesus is confronted with temptation and lies, he does what? He returns to the Word. Jesus could have used his divine command to stomp on the devil, but he rather appeals to what? He appeals to the written Word. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean? What are the implications of this? Practically speaking, this means that in our battles of deception from the evil one, our feelings, what works, what makes sense, what looks flashy, is not where we find our hope. Rather, it is found in the Word of God. Martin Luther once said that we are to be captive to the Word of God. It is the Word that shapes us. It's the Word that forms us. It is the Word that we stand upon and that we rest upon when confronted by the false lies of the evil one and the deception that he brings. While this is good and true, our gospel lesson from this morning really is not about us battling the devil in the wilderness, but rather it is Jesus battling the evil one. Therefore, as we fix our eyes on Christ in this narrative, we see that Jesus saw through the lies of the devil. He never gave in to the temptations that the devil placed before him, even though Jesus was hungry, weak, and frail, and vulnerable, unprotected and unguarded in the wilderness. The devil, he came to Jesus to tempt him to sin. He wanted Jesus to reject the Father. He wanted Jesus to die. The devil wanted this whole plan of salvation to crumble and fall apart. thus casting all of humanity and all of creation into the pits of hell. The evil one, he fired, he attacked, he launched, he swung, and he lunged at Jesus with twisted words, words that were bent to his hellish will. However, the attempts of the devil are simply, my friends, a joke. Had the devil forgotten who he was messing with, who he was dealing with? Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Creator by whom all things were made. The devil doesn't have anything to give to Jesus or to us. He's a taker. He's a liar. He's a murderer. My friends, the evil one only wants to take your soul and destroy your faith. Christ, on the other hand, is the Lord who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, a ransom for you and for me. Were we often given to temptation to alleviate the temptation and the pressure, Jesus, our Christ, the Son of God, he remains. He stands. He's faithful. And he proclaims the unchangeable word back into those temptations of the evil one. He, the Christ, he's held steadfast in the face of temptation, lies, and deceit. Thus, my friends, he lived a perfect life. A life without sin. He remained pure and sinless so that he might be the righteousness that clothes you and me. Yes, Jesus, he resisted sin. He overcame temptation, and he was perfect so that we might be clothed in his obedience and his perfection. In this way, Jesus the Christ has truly protected us and made us his own forever. My friends, what does this mean for us? Right here, right now, here in Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota, do you realize what this means for us? What this means, because of what Jesus has done, how he has battled against the evil one, how he stood the test, and how he resisted temptation, and how he was perfect and obedient on our behalf. What this means for us is that when the devil comes at you, when the evil one comes at you with lies and perverted words and filth, you can tell him this. Listen to reality, you evil foe. You can certainly exhaust me. You can attempt to deceive me through twisted words. And I will even fall for your tricks from time to time. However, hear this proclamation. Hear these words, Lucifer. I am baptized into Christ. I am a child of the Lord of life. Christ withstood you and your evil ploys in the wilderness. He crushed you at the cross. He fulfilled the law. He died to forgive me of my sins. He saves me from you, and he saves me from death. How do I know this to be true? Because I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His word endures forever. Be away, Satan. Long live the Lord of life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.